Hey, this is Taylor.
This is Jake.
And this is Dan.
And this is Unicorn Finders, where we are on the search to illuminate the elusive unicorn factor in everyday people, businesses, and relationships. Hope you enjoy.
All righty. I am having camera issues. What? There we go. Sweet.
There awesome. You are.
We're back. What's going on, y'all? Happy Thursday. Welcome to another Thursday edition of Unicorn Finders. We are stoked for this one, partly because I'm learning a lot. We're learning a lot backstage, and I was like, oh, shit, it's 9:30. We got to go live. So we're live. Very excited to have Kate on the show. Kate, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited.
Yeah. Absolutely. So for those of you who are tuning in or will listen to this in the future, what is Unicorn Finders? Unicorn Finders is a podcast founded by me, Jake, and Dan. Jake is not here today. But basically, we're friends, and we want an excuse to hang out. Because like most guys, Kate, just for the record, most guys, we need an excuse to hang out with each other. Because if we don't hang out and we drift apart into our friendship, right? So we're like, we got to keep our friendship going. So that's why we started this thing. And over three years later, we've actually had some amazing guests on the show. Amazing startups, founders. I would be curious to see how much money has been made and raised with everybody we've had on. But it's been pretty cool to watch these startups grow. And now you're part of the tough crowd is what we say. And so looking forward to diving into today. So enough of me running my mouth. Kate, if you want to give just a quick background about yourself and what teaming is, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. I'm Kate. I have a background in sales and marketing, mostly in subscription-based businesses, media, and tech. We started teaming in 2019, technically 2020. Perfect time to start a business.
Yeah, great time.
Not really. And teaming is a team management platform specifically designed for managers and their teams, not for HR, not for IT, not for the company as a whole, truly for the team to work together, communicate effectively, and quite frankly, for all of us to be able to find purpose and meaning in our work and enjoy it.
I love that. All right. So let's talk about what's different from teaming than any other. Because we talked about this backstage, all these performance management softwares, everyone's like, great, here's another one. So talk about what makes this one different.
Yeah, sure. So, well, partly we have 30 years of data that show performance management systems don't work to improve performance. They started about 30 years ago around the performance review or getting a raise. And that system still exists, right? Or the ritual of a performance review. We believe it should still exist. There's some question about that. But that's sort of like where it started. And 30 years ago, work was super structured and hierarchical. So, you know, the execs made all the decisions. They were the best positioned to create and make the decisions and the goals because they had the most experience. Today, markets move way too fast to be able to say, hey, here's what's happening. Report up the organization for the kind of skills and talent we need and the performance of the talent we have. And then, you know, basically report back down from the executive, like, here's how we should change it. If you look at most enterprises today, their performance management systems reflect talent that they needed 3 years ago. Yeah. You know, and the skills they needed 3 years ago, whereas now we, like, employees are learning faster. They need to be able to adapt faster. Mm-hmm. And the people who are best positioned to make those decisions are the manager and their team. So that's why we think, you know, if traditional performance management is sort of tops down, teaming's bottoms up, right? It's helping a team to be really healthy and high performing. And then when you create a bunch of teams that are really healthy and high performing, that's how you have a high performing company.
And we talked about a little bit about it before we started backstage, but how do you guys do that? How does this get integrated so it's no longer top down, but more bottoms up?
Yeah, good question. So I think it's, you know, you guys said backstage, like, you know, it's just performance reviews. Like, you got to go do it in this separate system that's all the way over here. And it's not what we use every day. So that's the main thing. Is like
another thing, another thing. Yeah. Like, bless it.
I can't do it. I just can't do it. I'm a tool fatigue.
Now I'm dreading. I've got to do them again in 2 months. Just did them again. Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Yes. So the idea with teaming is that we do it for you. So teaming, you don't have to type notes in teaming. Teaming comes into your meetings. It listens. It takes your notes for you. It creates tasks. It's your task manager for you and the team. It updates your goals. It creates a automated, like we call it a highlight reel of your quarter, both on the individual level, how we're doing, and then on the team level, so that you know as a group, you're working from the same set of facts about how the team's performing. So you know how to change course or improve what you're doing before the quarter ends. So no more, it's no more an input system. It's just a value out system. It takes your notes for you, makes your tasks for you. I think hopefully someday we'll be able to help with the tasks too. Who knows? So it's getting into that workflow. And then the other part of it is the culture. So there's actual science around what is always true of healthy, high-performing teams. Like we think of culture as, you know, every team I've worked on is different, right? We're different personalities, but there's core principles or elements, foundations of a healthy, high-performing team. So teaming helps you to know where you stand on those core elements.
So one thing I was going to get, one thing I was about to ask backstage, and I was like, oh no, it's 9:30, when it comes to using teaming, right? So let's say, like, can an individual download teaming and like just use it for themselves? Or does it have to be like the business license? Like talk about that.
Yeah, good question. So so you don't have to download anything. It's truly a subscription SaaS. So you just sign up and you can invite or integrate teaming into your like G Suite or Office 365, and then into your, you know, Google Meet, Teams, Zoom, what have you. And then you're good to go. So the value, yes, you can use it by yourself. The value to a single user is you can keep track of your own goals. Sure. You can keep track of your own meetings. Like it can work as your note taker. We've got a lot of salespeople who use it that way, right? They're just like, hey, I want to take notes on my sales calls. Do it for me. But the real value is when a team uses it, because it's that combined view of how you all are working together to achieve something. So yes, our individual, you can use it to see what kind of impact they're having or what they're getting done, but a group, right, working in tandem together to achieve something, like that's what teaming can help you see and feel.
So I'm trying to put it in like recruiter terms, right? So like with us, like we have like weekly numbers we have to hit. We have to place a certain amount of people a month. Let's just say those two goals, right? Just for this conversation purpose. How does it work? So I'm still trying to wrap my head around how does the bottom up work, right? As because top up as a manager, it's easy to go, Dan,
top down.
You need to make 3 placements a month and you need to meet 30 people a month.
Yep.
That's very easy. And then it's metrics and then it's that. How does it, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. How does it work from the bottom up with those type of metrics? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, good question. So let's say you're responsible for recruiting like entry level devs as an example, right? Mm-hmm. And your manager hasn't recruited an entry level dev in 15 years because they don't do that work anymore. Mm-hmm. So there are core principles that I'm sure a manager can teach a team member, right? that about recruiting an entry level dev, but how you go about creating the most new tactics or the way to get in front of someone, right? You doing the work is you're adapting, right? And you're responsible for it too. So you might say, like one rep who has the same goal might say, I'm going to make 100 phone calls or I'm going to make 100 touches to get 3 people. Mm-hmm. But you might say, I'm going to focus on this community here. And I'm only going to have to make 10 meaningful connections to get those 3. And both, no one's wrong, right? Neither person's wrong, but they're responsible and they need to be part of the conversation about how they achieve their goal And so they're the ones that are kind of like adapting to it. And they're talking about it with their manager too, to say, hey, here's my plan. You know, maybe they want feedback on that. Maybe they just want to try it and maybe fail at it for a quarter. Right. But they tried, they were really thoughtful and strategic about what plan they put together. And that is what creates the accountability and commitment necessary for really high performance, right? I want to feel like I've got control over how I'm going to go do this. And I want the freedom to fail. And that's what makes you really engaged at work. So it's the same goal, right? Manager's still saying, like, here's the goal, but how you go about achieving it, totally different.
Are you guys moving to ultimately, and I know that you kind of alluded to it, moving away from this like idea of like quarterly or semi-annual or annual performance reviews?
Because the way you're saying, if you're integrated in the meetings, there's almost
I think we're getting it. She keeps nodding her head. I think we're there.
You say it.
I think the dart's going towards the bullseye and we're just watching in slow motion.
Yes. So I think we think that marking lengths of time is important, like an annual review. It's like, hey, what was this year of my life and what did I achieve? Like, what did the little things, especially for younger folks or earlier in their career folks, they need to be able to see that impact. But they also don't want to get into a situation where they're hearing feedback for the first time 12 months later, where they're like, why didn't you tell me 11 months ago I was doing that wrong? You know? So yes, it's just frequent feedback. And then also like an annual review. So not moving away necessarily from the review, but making it 100 times easier to have the review. And honestly, so being able to write a performance review for a manager what we've heard, and I'd be curious to know if you guys feel the same way, is the writing, the documenting of the performance review is such a pain in the butt. And then you don't prepare for the actual... you don't prepare for the actual conversation of the performance review, which can be really hard, right? How does Joe receive feedback? How does Sally best receive feedback? How can I adapt my management style to make sure that the feedback is actually heard by someone? And that does require like a specialized, I got to do it different than I do it for Joe than for Sally. And teaming's goal is to help with that, right? And then just do the documentation for me. Like, I don't need to be doing this anymore.
So, you know, Dan and I are both fans of a podcast called Group Chat. And they have recently kind of, I mean, I think everyone's talking about ChatGPT and OpenAI and all that other stuff, yada, yada, yada. So whenever I hear the word documentation, like, this is where I really, truly think AI can come into play. And it obviously sounds like y'all are leveraging it from that perspective.
Totally. Yeah. So yeah, AI, we think AI is like the operator. You can have them document all the things. And then how can we teaming serve it back to you in terms of learning? How can we consume all this stuff that, you know, all of your meetings and how you're communicating and what cultural elements are shining through from your daily standups and your weekly one-on-ones to be able to serve that personalized recommendations for each team? Because it is different. And as a manager, like, you know, how do you adapt? You're like, oh, I've been a marketing director for 10 years. And every time I've been a marketing director, it's totally different. So that's the hard thing about being a manager, I think, that AI can really help with is consume all of this stuff and serve it back to me in a way that's consumable, that's actionable. And then, that's personalized. I was thinking the other day, you guys are in recruiting. How much recruiting tech is out there that helps you to personalize the like experience of a candidate, right? Like, how can I, you know?
Yeah, getting more one-on-one connection in. Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I've been talking with my team a lot, especially as we recruit across the country. You know, I'm a big fanboy of Calendly. Calendly does a really good job with workflows. I've set up workflows where you can like an automated email gets sent out like once a week to see if they're still on the job. But it's like trying to make something big seem very intimate. But what? Aside from that, there's not a lot. Dan, I don't know if you guys use anything either.
Not really, no.
So from a marketing, maybe it's from a marketing tech standpoint, but like I can serve a totally different experience to a recruiting company coming to my website than a manufacturing company coming to my website. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do that for each other? Yeah. Why don't we use tech to help each other engage in the way that we want to be engaged with? Like, treat me the way I want to be treated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think this whole industry, and I didn't realize, I've always just bemoaned the industry. I just think that it just was what it was, right? When I mean the industry, not what you guys are doing, but just performance management in general, I've always found it to be, it's just going to be naturally slow, right? Whenever you put, you know, quarterlies or half a year or a year on it, I don't think it's in real time. And so for me, it's always been tough to try to, how do I give real time feedback? And then that's just huddling up with my team, and that's outside of a platform. And it's, again, a little abstract because something could happen on a Monday and then we don't meet again until the following Friday. And those things get forgotten. And you're like, Dan, you should keep better notes. I know it's something that I'm working on, right? But with it not being real time, and then some things don't get lost in transition, right? Or translation, right? Whether it's a very small thing, right? And maybe it's not the big goal, right? I mean, Taylor's talked about, you know, meeting 30 people a month or 40 people a month, and maybe it's getting a number of placements a month, but maybe those small steps to get there often get overlooked because performance reviews are kind of the big boulders rather than, you know, it kind of goes into that example. They talk a lot about it in church, but it's like filling a vase up, right? And if you have pebbles, rocks, sand, and boulders, like if you just try to dump them all in, you're never going to fit them all. But if you put the boulders in and you fill it in with the rocks and the pebbles and then the sand. Right? Yeah. It fills up a lot better, right? So to me, real time feedback, and it's a good feedback loop too, right? Rather than it just being one-sided or, hey, do you remember that really cool thing I did 13 weeks ago? It's like, no, probably not. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, we already do that. We remove the recency bias out of literally anything, your any goal or any performance, right? Because you see a highlight reel, a total play-by-play of the decisions you made, the progress you made, and both parties, right, in a one-on-one or performance review situation are working from the same set of facts. You're looking at the same base,
right?
You know, which is hard to do in and of itself. And it can be automated, right? Like,
that's the big thing.
Yeah.
What's the reception that you're getting? Because there's a lot of big players in the space that have been doing things the same way for 30 years. They have a stranglehold on the thought leadership and just kind of everything of how we should do this. What's the reception been like, and how are you guys like pushing back against some of those, I'll call them stigmas, but
yeah,
a little too negative, but.
Yeah. So we've gotten to critical mass with quite a few companies where HR is like, what is this thing over here? what's happening with those teams? And they've been incredibly receptive. I had one chief people officer of a, you know, PE backed big software company say to me, she's like, I don't want to chase people to write performance reviews. It's not my job, right? I am giving a manager the tools to do what they need to do. And if they're not doing it, that's on them, right? I don't want to be the overlord, the tops down, you know, do this, do that, right? I just want to support, give the tools necessary, and you go run with it. And she's like, the beauty of teaming is that I don't have to chase, right? It just gets done. And so the reception has been really good from at a company level, right, an exec level, but mostly like what gets us up every day is that individual employee who's like, my life's just easier. Right.
It just gets done. I think that's the new slogan for teaming. It just gets done. I love that so much. So as we wrap up here, Kate, I wanted to kind of ask some kind of high level questions. What's been kind of maybe a big pivot point for y'all, right? From a business perspective, have you guys had some major pivoting that's happened? And if so, what's been kind of the biggest one?
Yeah. Well, we started with a totally different company. That's a big pivot. Look, we saw the symptom of bad meetings or ineffective meetings or time wasted as the problem. And when we like, and we created a beta product to solve that problem before the pandemic, like before we were even, you know, before it was really a problem. And what we saw was, this is not right. The meetings are going to happen. It's, can we help to make them more effective through really good communication, through intentionality, being intentional about how you use your time together. And that's the operational stuff, like just do it for me, just make it easy. And then, you know, and then the coaching piece or the individual culture piece. It's like having an executive assistant on one shoulder that just gets all the things done. And then it's like an advisor on the other. How best should I lead Taylor? What does Taylor need? Right. That's how you, you know,
yeah,
you know how to engage.
I love that. And then one of my final questions is what's next? Like what's on the horizon that you can share? Obviously exciting stuff for sure. Some of it you can't share, but definitely would love to hear.
So we feel like the AI note taker and the meeting assistant, right? We've got like the just do it for me is sort of the easy stuff. And I think it's table stakes. Everyone's going to be doing that at some point. It's just going to be easier to work in that way. But the key thing is the adaptability, the personalized nature of how we give feedback, how we solve problems, and how we resolve conflicts at work, right? How do I know how to approach someone about a conflict or feedback or a problem, right? We will deliver that real time, fully adaptive based on who we are, recommendations about how to engage on both the manager and the employee side or two peers, right? Literally anyone who works together will get that real time adaptive feedback so that they can, like, everyone wants to work well together. Yeah. And we get stuck in the mud. So we think we can, you know, that's the differentiator of teaming is that helping you to connect and engage and show you care.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that.
Danny, got anything else, big dog?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a fantastic platform. Big fan. Normally we do this after. Normally, Kate, we just kick you out and send you out of here to be on your merry way. Yeah. And we just talk about your product. We rip it up or we, you know, sing its praises. So we'll just do it publicly. I think it's a great idea. To me, there's such a conscious effort in the way that we are now looking at people and mental health and trying to work through how do we become better people and collaborate and work better together, right? So there's that piece of it. We'll put that over here. We have a new changing work culture of a lot more remote work and hybrid work and kind of this top down, not just from performance culture perspective, but from management perspective where they kind of walk around, they manage by observing and manage kind of like with a whip, right? So that's kind of changing and that's morphing as well. And then the use of AI and then kind of all of these things kind of coming in together allows, in my opinion, for a much more understanding perspective from the employee's point of view, which I think goes often missed in performance reviews. And a lot of it, one of the things that I've noticed is that there's often a very large lack of self-awareness when it comes to performance reviews, because it's like, rate yourself on 1 to 5. It's like, give myself one star, right? Or I'm going to give myself 5 stars because I think I'm doing really well. I'm like, reality, let's look at some data. Let's look at real time. Let's look at how we can best manage this relationship together. But also you can start to notice trends in real time that you maybe don't or can't catch later on, right? So I'm a fantastic proponent of what you guys are building. I think it's an incredible product. I am really curious to see how you guys watch, grow, iterate, and continue to integrate, because I think it's such a powerful way to approach workplace. And I'm all about disrupting the workplace, because I think we're trying to mix too many things that are going wrong, and it's nobody's winning. Zero people have won in the last 3 years on performance management.
I so agree. What if at some point this is our goal, right? What if every recruiter, right, who needs to fill space on Teams has a total view of everything from a like cultural perspective, a communication perspective, and a performance perspective. Like they've got that background when they go to find a new team member, right? How do I laser focus? How do I qualify on, you know, this is what matters to this team, or this is what matters to this candidate, and these two things match, right? From a cultural perspective, you know, and it's not what the manager says is the like dynamic of the team. It's what the data shows is the dynamic of the team. So you know, you're setting expectations.
One more thing that I think is going to be fantastic to watch, and it's going to come with just time alone and obviously number of folks that are using it, is to be able to also track in real time, like where new hires should be, right? Because I think especially in like sales organizations, that becomes tough. It's like, when you get started, do this. And then, hey, look at, and every sales organization does this too. They'll interview you and be like, look at John over here. He makes $1 million a year, right? And you're like, wow, I want to be like John one day, but there's like 950 other people that aren't John, right? And it's like, this is what your first, to get, if you want to be John, this is what John's doing. If you want to be middle of the, realistic, right? This is where people that were successful that are here were doing X, Y, and Z, and not just be like, man, they just worked hard. You know, they just put their nose to the grindstone and they just, you know, sacrificed kind of like everything.
Nate Bargatze there for a second.
You know, so I wish, man, going to see him in December. But it's one of those things that allows you to track in real time and just say, hey, like for new hires, like this is where John was in his first year. This is where Sam was in his first year, right? Like being able to go through and look at that data and say, hey, you have a very similar DISC profile. You have a similar background. You have kind of the same like gumption or want to that these people have. Like this is kind of where you're tracking. It doesn't mean that it has to be, you know, completely, you know, binary, but.
That's the thing is if you can map that journey for someone, they're gonna be like, all right, I'm all in, right? I want to be John. But then, you know, call it a year, 2 years in, they have the confidence because they're seeing how the process works to then use their natural strengths, how they're different than John to really take off, right? To really grow and use their unique strengths to make the $1 million. It is gonna look different than how John did it eventually, right? He's got his like system and process and preferences, but it's that foundation that people don't get to, that exactly how you said, let's map this out. They get lost in that process and then they never find their confidence to be able to really tailor how they do, you know, how they're going to succeed beyond getting the nuts and bolts.
Yeah. And I think you're going to be fine where the funnel stops, where it slows down, and be able to identify how do we get people over these like plateaus, right? I mean, and most jobs there's, you know, a steep incline, then you hit a plateau, and then a steep incline, hit a plateau, and then it like marginalized, but it's like staying off of that plateau and being able to watch and look back and in real time, hey, you plateaued because the 6 weeks leading up to this, your activity was down 40%, whatever it might be. I don't know. I love it. I'm all in.
My co-founder calls it pivots on the mountain.
Yeah. So I'm going to take the other end of it and we'll wrap up here in a minute. This is my favorite part, kind of like the future state of the product side of things. And Dan can test this too, because we both lead teams. We both led them for a little bit of time. I take all my notes on Apple Notes, right? Have my Mac up, you know, notes, take it down. My thing is like, if there is a way to almost like teaming could almost, and again, bear with me here. I'm just thinking this on the spot, but basically like almost email you a prompt or chat you a prompt, like, hey, when you spoke to a girl on my team's name, Sloan, hey, when you spoke to Sloan last month, you guys discussed these three things. You probably should follow up and ask her where she's at. And also like, that's where the AI can get real, real crazy.
Yeah.
It's basically reminding you of what you talked about, so you don't have to take the notes. And then it's this like seamless kind of iteration, which I'm assuming.
And then it could send hype up emails and everything, and then you just never see me again. I mean, I'm golfing all day.
We call it Time Hop for Business. So like,
yes, yeah. I love that app. Dan, do you use Time Hop?
Yeah.
You gotta look it up. It just pushes things you posted a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago on all the platforms.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to be reminded of my terrible also another I had 3 years ago, you know?
Time hop for business.
Time hop for business. Yeah.
I'm just your copy.
That's what Taylor does. That's why all his content is so good, because he did it like 3 years ago and he works it. He A/B tests all his stuff and then he's like, hey, this one got 37 retweets. That one's going again.
Hell yeah.
That's why Taylor's a social media god and I'm just sitting here.
All right. Well, this was fun. Kate, thank you. Stay on real quick so we can say bye to you off air. But thanks for everybody tuning in. Michael, Fritz, and Michelle, and everybody else who watched. We appreciate y'all. Next week,
Fritz and move to Tampa.
There you go. Next week, so we have card.io. They are another connection out of the Austin area, won a bunch of awards. Really excited to have the founder on next week. Y'all have a good one. We'll see y'all Thursday. Bye.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in to this episode of the Unicorn Finders. If you found any of that interesting or helpful at all, please share it with your friends. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or want to be a part of our podcast, be sure to email us at info@theunicornfinders.com.
And while you're at it, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe us 5 stars and share it with a friend or two. We'll see you next week.